As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello all and welcome to the 68th edition of On The Ball, a Norwich City podcast from The Athletic. I'm Michael Bailey. I hope this finds you safe and well. On the way, how much more of the Farcombe Webolution? All hail the resurrection. I think I said that right. And some sort of international break mention. We will work through all this and more with our guests this evening, although it's actually afternoon. Former Norwich City press officer, Ben Mounser.
Hello, Michael.
And as an international break special, we have a special international break panel of fans in the shape of Callum.
Good afternoon.
And Charlie.
Afternoon, Michael.
Well, that was seamless. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. How are we all? Ben, I'll start with you. How are you? Your beard looks magnificent.
Thank you. And obviously, nobody listening to this can see it, but I'm quite proud of it, actually. Obviously, in the beard stakes, Michael, you're still way ahead of anyone, really.
I don't know if that's true. Ewan Roberts, there's one. He's well ahead.
Although, remember that time when you had the full Ewan, like, bush?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was my king beard, yeah. I called it. Shaved it off. We raised 500 quid, I think, for the CSF, shaving that off. My son cried the next time he saw me. So well worth it, obviously. Glad you're well. Are you amusing yourself over this international break?
Yeah, I've not really watched any international football, to be honest. Just had lots going on. So yeah, I'm coming to this a bit cold, but I've obviously done my prep, Michael, you know me, professional that I am.
Of course. Absolutely seamless. Well, lovely to have you on. Now let's introduce our special international break panel of fans, which I'm calling our SIPOF, obviously. Please, now gentlemen, introduce yourselves if you can. I want your full name. I want your favorite Norwich City player and a fun fact. And I haven't even given you any kind of warning for that. And you should see their faces. They are rocking. Just make it up. It's fine. It doesn't even need to be true. That's sort of how this podcast generally works. Go on, Charlie. I'll go to you first.
Okay. Hi, I'm Charlie. You need my full name?
Yeah, I want your surname.
Okay. Charlie Brett.
Lovely.
I'd say Pookie at the moment.
Good work.
Changes every week. Probably should say Emmy. And a fun fact. You should have given us some prep.
I should have given you some prep. I mean, you've got a lovely background of a pub.
I don't know why I'm turning around. Yeah, I'm just getting prepared for a few weeks from now when we can finally
soon
re-enter the home.
Soon, Charlie. Likewise, going to football soon.
Agreed, yes.
Callum.
Afternoon, how are we doing?
Basically, all I want is your surname and favourite player. I think that'll do it.
Yeah, good afternoon. Callum Howard. Favourite player at the minute, got to be Emmy, always Emmy. Favourite player of all time is probably Wes, which I think we'll get onto a bit later on.
What timing?
I did have a little fact, but then I forgot it.
Excellent.
Which is So I thought that popped into my head and I was like, oh, perfect. I'm going to come in here with a fact. And
the great thing is, Callum, we've got ages for you to remember it. And there's no pressure either. Favourite player of all time, Charlie?
That's a tricky one.
Yes. Whole podcast. Wes. Oh, I see. I love you guys. Well played. Well, thank you for being our special international break panel of fans, or our sip-off. And we'll hear plenty of you, of course, during the course of the podcast. But before we crack on, right now, I should tell you, you can subscribe to The Athletic for the special price of £3.99 per month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price of a subscription. You'll enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around. I'll be there too, as well as ad-free versions of all our podcasts. So go to theathletic.com/NorwichPod to take advantage of this special 40% discount. That is theathletic.com/NorwichPod. Let's crack on with this week's headline act. I have written a piece that went live this morning, in fact, on Daniel Farke and Stuart Webber. Now, basic, long story short, their contracts... it's great that they're all out in the open. Everyone knows their contracts end at the end of June 2022. They've both been hugely important to where Norwich are now, and of course will remain hugely important until they are here. Basically, about autumn time, I had in the back of my head, well, we're getting close to 18 months now of the contract left, and if they were a footballer, you would be already have signed them up. So that was the background of my thinking. I've tried hard not to write a piece that, you know, completely screws with Norwich's promotion run, but ultimately it feels like something that is going to come up the moment Norwich secure promotion, because it's the obvious question. It was basically why they both signed their new contracts the other side of the promotion 2 years ago. And I've written a piece that kind of tries to broach that subject before and maybe even after they've spoken about it. So there we go. I did have someone tweet me saying it feels that the situation has the potential to be harrowing for Norwich fans. I think that was Mal Wesby on Twitter. Hello, Mal. I personally feel that the only point where it gets harrowing is if everyone just puts their head in the sand and ignores that it's happening, hoping that it doesn't, because that is fairly ridiculous. But there we go. Ben, what are your thoughts on the piece and where things are?
My thoughts, Michael, are that your timing is impeccable. On the first day where lockdown restrictions have been eased, you know, the sun is shining, everyone is looking forward to hopefully a nice, comfortable end to the season. And then you throw in this grenade that obviously it's public knowledge and has been that their contracts are up, but to bring it into the public consciousness like this, Michael, it's such a time. It feels a very brave move on your part.
You've got a good person to say brave to me today.
I'm being a bit ironic. I mean,
really? Well, not you did really. Used to work in a football club. Yeah, then, I did. So I can only imagine what it would have been like maybe if you'd have been working there this morning.
No bravery displayed in that job. I think, yeah, it kind of just brought it into my mind, really. And reading the piece, I think the main thing that I drew from it was how Webber and Farke are kind of reliant on each other in a way. And can either of them sort of continue at Norwich City if the other one departs? Now, you've often thought about the idea of Stuart Webber leaving, because he was so public about saying it when he signed his new contract, this is going to be my last contract, etc., has been a lot more palatable, I think, to Norwich fans. But what I certainly hadn't considered was whether Daniel Farke would happily continue under another sporting director. So you kind of put them both in the same seat now. And that's what that piece really brought home for me is, you know, it seems to me that it's either both or neither of them.
Yeah, potentially. I think this was the hardest thing about putting together the piece, because no one knows. No one exactly knows how it's going to pan out. People have ideas and have theories. But, you know, like anything, it's ultimately predictions, isn't it, over intentions. And I can't sit here and write what the future is going to be like for the next 2 or 3 years. But I suppose there is an expectation. And I guess in my head, because being in the back of my head for age, since they both signed their contracts and they were both set to expire at the same time, I've had it in the back of my mind, oh, they both expire at the same time. And so I sometimes...
You should have just left it there, Michael. You should have just left it buried in your subconscious.
Waited until the summer. No one would have mentioned it again. Yes, maybe. And maybe I'll get a big slap around the face from someone at some point about it. But ultimately, it's been there. And I feel it will be interesting, you know, which of of who continues and whether someone does continue and which one it is and whether they don't or not. But in terms of our fans panel, I mean, I'll come to you first, Charles, if I can. Charlie, I mean, had this been at any point in the back of your mind at all? Or have you, you know,
mind until I woke up this morning.
Brilliant.
Got on Twitter. Yeah,
sorry. I'm going to just have to start dishing out apologies, aren't I, clearly?
I was lucky to be there when they announced Barker signing his last contract, which is great fun. But it's a worry, isn't it? It's a big worry. What's going to happen?
Oh, I don't want to make everyone worry. It was Hull, Norwich 1-3-2, and they were actually, yeah. It was funny because I think
Emi scored a great goal.
They wanted that contract announcement for Daniel Farke to really give everyone a G up, didn't they? And it was almost sort of so drip fed before that it was all a bit flat for the first half of the game. And probably a good job that Norwich actually saw themselves over the line with it. Callum, how about you? Because I mean, as I said, it's not something that hasn't been out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think to echo the sentiment, it's kind of been rumbling there, but maybe you don't. With the lovely season that we're having, you know, pandemic considering, that you don't really want to then dampen the mood with thoughts of contracts, because I think it opens up the rabbit hole, doesn't it? Because when you start thinking about Farke's contract and Weber's contract, you start thinking about Emi's contract and Pukki's contract and Max Aaron's contract. And, you know, I think we can sit here and say, what if, but you said yourself, you know, I think you'd be pretty in demand if you could predict the world of football. But I think Ben made a good point about, would it be both of them or neither of them? I don't think Weber's going to pull a Tetti and say that this is his last contract and say that for then like 6 years, and sign his last contract six times. But I do think with
Alex Tetti.
Yeah. I do think with the really interesting pod that, not to mention other podcasts, but the lesser.
You can mention other podcasts. That's fine. There are loads of them.
As long as they're part of the Athletic family.
Of course. Well, I was going to mention the lesser, but also interesting All in Yellow podcast, where Kieran Scott.
The very good in-house club podcast.
Very good. Very good. Yes. Although I think their Zoom quality isn't as good as ours. But Kieran Scott, when he was on there and he was talking about, I think it was Kieran Scott, who was talking about how he's kind of being reared by Stuart Weber for the director of football role or sporting director role. And I think that may be where they go in that sense. But I think Daniel's going to be as in demand as any of our key players. And I think whether he goes will probably hinge more on whether somebody comes in for him. When he gets us promoted this year, yeah, he's got two promotions under his belt, both under extreme financial circumstances. And one of them as an immediate bounce back to the Premier League, one of the first teams to do that. I don't know, we haven't got Steve here to tell me, you know, when the last time a team got bounced back promoted without really investing millions, then I think he could walk into any club in Europe and get a pretty decent job after that.
It's a tricky one, isn't it, Ben? Because I guess the thing is, I want the people at the club, I suppose, to be aware of not just, you know, not just sort of hoping for the best, really. Regardless of maybe supporters, you know, the people running the club have to be aware that there needs to be succession planning, I suppose, which I'm sure there is. And I know there is that. And I suppose that's, as I said, part of why we've got Kieran Scott, you know, answering an open question on an in-house club podcast about a position that isn't actually available yet, but might be. And the guy who's currently in it as well. I mean, I remember when I heard it and I was like, wow,
It was either a very carefully crafted PR move to kind of get it out there that Kieran Scott might be Stuart Webber's successor, or they just kind of stumbled upon it in the course of the interview and released the podcast, and that was that. But I agree, it was pretty amazing, really, to see that kind of line come out of the official club channels. I think, I don't know, like, obviously they're going to be talking about it behind the scenes. This isn't something that's kind of just been buried like it maybe has done with the fans. I feel like, Michael, do you think there's going to be some sort of conversation resolution about this potentially before next season? Because it seems to me that you wouldn't want that kind of lack of clarity with your sporting director and your manager or head coach only contracted for another 12 months going into what is likely to be a Premier League season. I feel like that wouldn't give the squad and the club the best chance of staying in the Premier League. And Webber and Farke have always said that their aim is to establish Norwich in the Premier League. Their aim is to not just, even if we go up and then we stay up, that, I don't know, it feels like their ambitions are still greater than that here. Obviously, the length of their contracts doesn't tie with that at the moment. But it feels to me that certainly with Daniel Farke, he's such a clear affinity with the football club, with the fans. He clearly absolutely loves being here. He's obviously an ambitious guy, but I don't get the sense that if we get promoted and stay up, that he's going to be leaving at the end of his contract and going to manage another club like readily. Stuart Webber, slightly different, because he's been so open about it in the past. Like, so yeah, it's a difficult one. For me, I feel like there should be some sort of clarity, for at least for the squad. And it doesn't necessarily even have to mean a kind of public announcement of a new contract for either of them, but certainly for the squad and the staff, because you've got to remember the staff as well are all buying into this, and it's kind of very much a team effort what's happened over the last couple of years under this structure. So it feels like a bit of clarity might be needed.
Yeah, and I think, and there's a line in the piece that makes the point that actually what happens externally of the club is in a way neither here nor there. Having the having everyone on page and not unsettled inside the club is absolutely crucial, because they are the ones doing the jobs and the work and making things come together. So that's certainly an element of it. I don't get the impression there'll be anything that comes up over the course of the summer, because there's so much other stuff that they want to do. And I suppose once you maybe get that summer transfer window out of the way and you're into a run of games at Premier League tempo, which is a bit different to a Championship tempo, then potentially, but that is literally me guessing. And again, I feel like that's kind of why I've written the piece, because you can drift really quickly and before you know it, you're there and it's like, well, I'm off now because I did say I was off. Whoever, it could be anyone, I don't know. And again, this element of how Daniel Farke doesn't really operate like most managers. He stays until the end of his contracts and then he either leaves or he signs another one. He's very good at his job. So he's ultimately created this where he gets to, you know, pick and choose, but also he's at the right club because other clubs may have sacked him given he lost 10 games at the end of last season. So
yeah, he's done that so far, but I don't think we can sit here and say that's definitely going to be the case for the rest of his managerial career, that he's going to be able to manage things in that way.
No, the higher up the window he goes, yeah, or the pyramid.
And it's not that long ago, remember, that people were kind of really putting both of their roles under the microscope when Daniel Farke had overseen a club record sequence of defeats in the Premier League. Stuart Webber's recruitment strategy last season was really criticised quite a lot. So in a way, I feel like they will feel like they've still got something big to prove in the Premier League once we get there with 100 points and 100 goals.
100%. That is very much the case. But again, like, no one was really asking and would have necessarily been that fussed about either probably extending their contract this time in September last year off the back of such a turgid run. So there we go. And I'll probably reiterate it. The piece isn't supposed to be solving anything. It's more like just bringing it up. And either I apologize for that, or I hope you enjoyed reading it, one or the other. Hopefully there'll be some football to enjoy soon as well, which is obviously the most important thing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Right, let's move on to things we are not going to talk about. These are the things that have happened and deserve acknowledgement, but we're only going to acknowledge them by stating how we are not going to talk about them. I hope that makes sense. We have only 3 minutes to do it also. So please cue the dramatic music, producer Ollie. Right, this week I am not going to talk about, while Ben Gibson is out for the rest of the season, he will have surgery next week. You can read the piece from the other weekend, I think it was covered on the last pod. Obviously, we all wish Ben Gibson the very best. Hopefully, he'll be all ready for pre-season next season, and because Norwich will have gone up, he will be an officially permanent Norwich City footballer, which would be great. So, yeah, fingers crossed to you, Ben. All the best. Also, a piece on Sam Byram that went out. I'm just going to get my plugs out of the way because I'm not going to talk about them. Sam Byram, they're hoping maybe he might be around next season. We'll have to see. But obviously, there's all the details in there. It's been difficult and curious, really. He's been so unfortunate with his injury. So, Sam, fingers crossed for you too. Ben, anything you don't want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, that's only an extension of the Gibson news and just thinking how that might work for the rest of the season. Obviously, Christoph Zimmermann will be the man who replaces him. It kind of worries me a bit, not just in terms, actually less so in terms of our defensive stability, more so in terms of how the effect Gibson's absence will have on the whole team and how we play, because it clearly did have an effect. But actually, I was looking at Zimmermann's form this season. I think he played six games when Gibson was last out in December. We won four of those. We only conceded five goals. So I don't think necessarily people should panic about the absence of Gibson, but it'll be interesting to see between now and the end of the season, so an extended period of matches, how that affects us as a team in both the way we defend and the way we move forward with the ball, because obviously Ben Gibson is a critical piece of that, as an article on The Athletic from a few months ago details, Michael.
Yeah, had that one covered. Grant Hanley on the other side as well of the pairing.
That's it.
That's generally people's reaction, not his. Anything you guys don't want to talk about, Callum?
Just don't want to talk about Anel Hernandez getting changed in the back of a car on the way to his Cuba debut.
And he scored.
Good goal as well.
Great goal.
Worldy. Absolutely picked, you know, robbed the defender. Ran 30 yards and on a tight angle put it in the top right hand corner. Beautiful goal. But I think, yeah, it just echoing Daniel Farker's points on how ridiculous an international break is at the minute, and just getting stuck in an ash cloud probably wasn't on Anel Hernandez's debut bingo card, but
outstanding. As long as he heads back nice and quickly, it'll all be alright, I think. Charlie, what don't you want to talk about?
Max Aarons.
Oh, yeah.
And his, well, first of all, his name change, which is throwing me off massively.
I'm still not getting it right, I think.
I don't know how I feel about it, but also him getting left out against Portugal for the unders. I'd be a bit disappointed. Obviously, as a Norwich fan, I'm not disappointed, because it's great he's not there getting injured, but he definitely deserves to be playing.
Skippy's played both games, hasn't he? They've gone really well.
Yeah.
He made a bit of a mistake, yeah.
So, keep that good work up. I'm sure Todd's...
I'm
delighted.
Worried about Oliver Skip's load.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about it because it worries me.
No.
I mean, started every league match still, Michael? You'll know
that.
Started every league match. Played both of these England under 21 games. Maybe he's not going to play against Croatia in this final 21s fixture. And obviously, the lad's a metronome, you know. I get the feeling that he could play a match every day and still be absolutely fine. But if we lose him as well, and then...
All right. We've already had one piece to, you know, get everyone miserable. I don't want any more. Well, the music stopped. We're all done. The only other things I had on my list, Timmy Krul playing for Holland. I won't mention the Turkey game so much. Turkey. Preston, that is still not moved. It's still 3 p.m. on Friday. Frankie McAvoy is going to be in charge for the rest of the season at Preston, which is interesting. So that'll be exciting. We'll see what he can deliver against Norwich. That's a pun on him being a former postman, in case anyone missed that one. Well done to Archie Mayer and Dan Barden, who have signed new contracts. They both run until 2024 with a year's extension. Both young, talented goalkeepers. Something's going to have to give at some point, but that'll be fun to follow. And they're great lads, so good luck to them. May the best goalkeeper stay, I suppose, probably the way to put that. And that is it. Brilliant stuff. Okay, so If anyone out there ever has any suggestions for things you don't want us to talk about, throw them in and then we'll happily not talk about them, which I think is a way to deal with that. Right, let's move on to centrefold. It's one on the resurrection, which I don't think I said completely right earlier, but there we go. Much better that time. Cambridge United are flying. Wes Houlihan is a key part of it. It's so good to see. And I say that as someone who has seen it. I went to watch Cambridge twice, once in midweek without him and once at Oldham with him, which is one hell of a game. Oldham were 2-0 up and Cambridge ended up winning 4-2. They were 2-0 down, Cambridge. Moved Wesley into the middle, tip of a diamond. Away they went. It wasn't quite that straightforward because he then moved into a 4-3-3. But, it was good. It was good enough for me. And it was wonderful to see him play for Cambridge, who are flying. They won again at the weekend. They're top of League Two. They have played the odd game more than their rivals, I think. But Wes is doing a remarkable thing of basically playing pretty much the full 90 minutes every Saturday, at which point Cambridge generally win, and then getting the midweek games off. When Cambridge generally lose. It's even interesting speaking to Matt Bonner about how you're sort of dealing with a team where Wes is having such a positive impact. But it is lovely to see. He's still, the thing that gets me, Ben, is that Wes Houlihan, it seems to do this with supporters at pretty much every club he plays for, certainly the ones where he plays regularly for. He just makes people fall in love with him playing football. But why, Ben? Why?
Are you asking me this question, why Wes Houlihan is such an amazing footballer?
But it's the generation of the feeling in supporters, though, isn't it, almost?
It is. I don't know. He's almost a throwback, isn't he? He's a throwback to a different era in many ways, which I'll talk about more in a minute. But it's that kind of, I don't know, what you feel is the uniqueness of him, obviously the joy of seeing a player who is just incredibly skillful and is able to do things that other players simply aren't able to do, certainly at League Two level. But we saw it obviously at much higher levels as well. And on the international stage, you're right. It's almost offset by the fact that I feel like he's never really had this kind of wider appreciation from the kind of broader football world. I think he got in the EFL team of the decade. I think that's probably as close as it got, but certainly how the fans of clubs that Houlihan has played for feel about him is different to kind of his, I don't know, it certainly feels to me anyway that he's maybe not as appreciated as much. Maybe you only get that appreciation when you watch him week in, week out, and do some of the things that he does and the way he goes about it as well. When I say he's like a throwback, he's kind of, what he's doing at the moment is like something from a different era when players who played at a much higher level used to go and play in at an inferior level when they're coming towards the end of their careers and just stand out like a sore thumb. It's a brilliant story. But also the fact that he doesn't court attention. He's not on social media. He's not one of these players who is in the media a lot talking about, oh, I'm going to be a coach. I want to do punditry when I'm after my career. He absolutely loves playing football. And that's why he's playing for Cambridge at the age of 38, because he loves running out on the grass on a Saturday afternoon and doing his thing and being part of a dressing room at whatever level. And I think all of those things combined, a wife, fans of the clubs that he plays for absolutely love him because he's almost relatable in that sense.
Callum and Charlie, you've both got him down as your favourite all-time player, so no pressure here. But I was thinking about this as well. I was speaking to the Under the Abbey Stand podcast guys. It was lovely to chat with them about Wesley as well. It almost feels to me like Wes is such a pure footballer in that it's not always about, it's not like a Lionel Messi where he takes the ball and then beats everyone and then scores. It's like Wes is almost sort of purer, I'm just going to do fun things and create fun things. Yet he also still manages to create iconic moments. You think about, you know, he should have had probably two or three times the amount of Ireland caps he had, yet he scored that goal in the Euros. He's such a fan favorite at Blackpool because he dinked a penalty against Preston. And obviously all of the success he had here as well, Charlie. I mean, yeah, I don't know. That was my view, but well, what sticks in your mind?
In my opinion, he could probably still be playing for Ireland at the moment, couldn't he? Well, I watched a couple of the games recently and they've not been great. But you could just sit on YouTube and watch Wes highlights all day long and you could just be living the best life. I never actually got to see him play in person, which is disappointing. I know.
Oh, Charlie. Well, you know, when he sort of starts rocking up at Sheringham, whichever, you know, well, Cambridge is just down the road from here. But I hope you get to see him play one day.
One day.
I hope that happens.
50.
Yeah, do it. Still got it. How about you, Callum?
I mean, Wes for me was, you know, when I sort of showing my youth here, Wes was arrived to Norwich at about the time I arrived as a fan. So my sort of early years falling in love with football and Norwich was at the same time as falling in love with that team. So yeah, he holds a really sentimental sort of place for me, which is why I love him and everyone that was in that was in that squad. So it's actually been really lovely to see him, you know, age like a fine wine. Like, I think that is the best way I can put it, is he just seems to, I think as he matures and he grows, you know, as a footballer and as a family man, I think he's brought that sort of just general wholesomeness to his game. And I think he's as skilled as Buendia. He's got the feet, he's got the, you know, his little legs can go so fast. With his low center of gravity, he can turn on a dime. But what he brings is just that, like Ben was saying, he just loves playing football and fans just love seeing that. And I think there's a different kind of passion that you see in Wes that you see in some of the younger players, where the younger players and the passion, it really is, it's such an energy that it gives them in sort of like quite a ferocious way. Whereas for Wes, it's just a cleaner, smoother energy. And he just feels just like an artist. He's just disappears somewhere and then performs these magical moments and then comes back to us. And it just feels so seamless and so humbling. And I think that's for me why he always captures the hearts of everywhere he goes.
Humble's a very good word to describe it, actually. Because from my time working at the club when Wes was there, extraordinarily humble man who very rarely kind of put himself in a position where he was, you know, talking to people about talking to people about his career. And he just wasn't that kind of guy. He'd rather just stay quiet and stay behind the scenes. Although he is actually on social media. I've just remembered he is on Instagram, Michael, isn't he? But
he is,
what I mean when I say he's not on social media is that he doesn't use the platform as something to kind of promote his brilliance.
Exactly. And most of his Instagram stuff is promoting his football school and the stuff that he does for young kids to get them into the sport.
Yeah, it will be interesting what Wes does after his, well, as you kind of said, Ben, I think he'll just keep playing, to be honest. But he is a lovely man from all the times I've spoken to him as well, which isn't as many as you, Ben, I'm sure. But
I'm sure it is, Michael. Like you'll know as well as anyone, Michael, when it comes to media work, he often
didn't do it.
Very, very reluctant. Well, yeah, he didn't do it.
Reluctant.
And I think there's a bit of annoyance maybe from members of the media that he wasn't more kind of willing to do interviews and sit in front of cameras and open up a bit. But again, for me, that just kind of, I don't know, that makes him better.
Yeah, and not from me. I think you have to take that not every footballer is going to A, want to or be comfortable with talking a lot. I know there's a degree where they have to do it, and Wes does it when he has to do it because he did it recently when he won the League Two Player of the Month award. So, you know, it's as long as they're doing the business and on the pitch as well, then that's obviously makes things much better. Well, look, it's a real shame. And this was kind of in the piece, go read the piece, obviously. But it was in the piece that, you know, Cambridge United fans are having to do all of this admiring from via iFollow, which, as someone said to me, doesn't really do him justice. So we'll have to see if he gets a second year, or he fancies a second year, or he wants a second year at Cambridge. And then maybe the Norwich fans, who probably would have gone and seen him if they could have done in the last 12 months, will maybe get the chance to down at the Abbey Stadium. It goes without saying that we hope Colchester goes without saying that we hope Cambridge United finish the job this season, and then, you know, possibly Norwich then finish the job this season, and then maybe Peterborough United will finish the job this season. There'll be three of East Anglia's biggest teams earning promotion this year. There's no one else to mention, is there?
No.
I did see a good tweet for League One next year. I think it was Cambridge 1, Ipswich 0, scored by Wes Houlihan.
Yes, and people would love that to happen.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Right. As we've got the special international break panel of fans, I thought it might be nice that they could maybe pose some questions to me and Ben while we're here, both in our beards. So, Callum, Charlie, this is your opportunity to ask us a burning question. You know, don't waste it. No pressure. Charlie, do you want to go first?
Yeah. So, how are your ducklings?
Yes, indeed. So,
they're fine, thanks.
How are your ducklings, Ben? Yes, they're good. People may have seen on Instagram. We got some duckling eggs for my little boy's birthday. They have hatched, and I was full on with the duck spam. One of them pooed at the end of the video, which I hadn't realised until I watched it back. And I was like, "Look at that! It's hilarious." And I did that instead of watching England under 21s. Tell me I got it wrong. I tell you what, I didn't. Had much more fun. So there you go. Ben, you maybe could get some ducklings.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do after seeing that social media content, Michael. That's definitely persuaded me.
It's the way to describe it. Great question, Charlie. Love it. Callum?
Mine's a little bit more football related. My question would be, what is the biggest sort of most humbling success story you've seen in your time covering Norwich? Like, I think something like Tim Krul coming from sort of being injured at Newcastle and that fall from grace and then the reemergence, or maybe somebody coming from a really obscure non-league and blossoming at Norwich. This is putting you on the spot more than you did with that unexpected fun fact question.
Well, you're asking it of both of us, I hope.
No, just you, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
No, just you, Michael.
Oh, just me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have a think. Okay.
It depends how you gauge success, I always think. I think those big... someone like Tim Krul, he's come through an elite club and it's all been there. He's had to work incredibly hard to get back from a really difficult situation. And it's phenomenal what he's done. International footballer. So that to me is a level of, I still think he's still a humble guy, but you know, there's something sort of pure destiny in terms of what he's done. So I think One of the most humbling interviews I've done, I think, was with Chris Renton, and possibly in terms of a Norwich City football story, it's not hugely successful, but he is still Norwich's youngest ever player. He had to go through horrible adversity in terms of breaking his leg. He was only in Norwich's sort of youth setup for a year, having been plucked from Musselburgh. And he almost had to take it to the point where he wanted to call quits on his football career because it wasn't going how he wanted. He felt he wasn't the same player and he couldn't do what he wanted to. So, and speaking to him and someone who'd been through all that and been a part of a football elite football team, was still playing for Cowdenbeath, but doing it part-time, and how he viewed everything when he could have been so angry and bitter or annoyed or just regretted so much. I found that a really grounding experience to speak to him. So in terms of humbling experiences, interviews wise, that's one. Tom Adeyemi, I used to speak to a lot as well when he was coming through. And again, someone I kind of wished he'd kicked on to something maybe he was more closely able to achieve and in line with his potential. But again, someone who had this sort of was quite humble in terms of how he dealt with everything. But then he joined Ipswich, so maybe I can't mention Tom. So yeah, I think for an answer on the spot, there'll be plenty of others, I'm sure, and maybe some who have had more success as well in terms of their football career. But that interview with Chris Renton up in Scotland still sticks in my memory. So hope that's an okay answer. I loved having our special international break panel of fans. If you're telling me this couldn't become a regular event, I think I would feel you're lying. Let's move on, shall we, now to This Is Just Like Fantasy Football.
This is almost fantasy football.
As always, let us paint a picture of the forthcoming seven, although I think it's 8 days. And then you can laugh at what we've created with the valuable gift of hindsight. We've got Preston on Good Friday away with, I don't know, four players probably available. And then Norwich host Huddersfield on the Tuesday evening after Easter. What's going to happen, Ben?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Obviously, what's been said, I think enough has been said about the Preston scenario and that game. I think maybe what hasn't been kind of thought of is it's not just the Preston game, it's the Huddersfield game as well, Michael. And it's kind of going straight into a three-game week at such a critical point of the season. We talked about players loads earlier. Like, it just goes against everything that, you know, the modern sports science says. However, I think in terms of opposition, it's quite a kind of week for Norwich on paper, because Preston, Huddersfield and Derby, the three teams we're facing next, all of whom are not in great form. I think between them, they've won one of their last 15 matches. So I think...
Ouch.
And, you know, we do have depth. Obviously, we've relied on a very set kind of team and approach recently, which has yielded the results for us. But we do have options as well to kind of switch things around. So I think, obviously it's rubbish that we're having to play Preston merely 48 hours after some of our players have been playing in competitive internationals. But I do think actually we can manage through it, and it's going to, like, the results from these three games, three very winnable matches in my view, might just put the seal on promotion, I hope.
Yes, it's worth bearing in mind after this, it's Derby away.
Yeah, so Preston, Huddersfield and then Derby. So those three teams are not playing that great at the moment.
Before Norwich host Bournemouth and Watford. But we won't look too far ahead. I've already learnt my lesson from earlier in the podcast. Boys, I'm going to ask you your 11s. Pick who's going to team. So you've got about, 20 seconds to think about it. But I mean, I can't, you've got Jordan Hugill, who is a chomp, champing at the bit. Against his former club, I mean, that feels like that, especially when Teemu Pukki, we don't know if he'll play on Wednesday, but he's already played two games for Finland. But then he's in great form as well, and if he doesn't play in their friendly in Switzerland, then maybe he's all right, just a bit of traveling, away you go. Ollie Skip, I mean, is he gonna play a third game for the 21s? Probably. Who knows? Max Aaron's had a bit of a rest. We're already throwing Christoph Zimmermann in. I mean, goalkeepers don't have to run, so they should be all right, shouldn't they? I mean, it's only mental tiredness. I mean, what's that? So that's all good. Szemysław Paheta, of course, is away with Poland, worth bearing in mind, and the Scottish duo. I mean, we do have Grant Hanley away, so, it's going to have to be Grant Hanley, is it, then, alongside Christoph Zimmermann, I suppose?
I think so. I think I have a feeling that the players themselves might sort of have a word with their coaches as well as Daniel and say, look, I'm less so maybe for the Scotland boys because they've got a lot riding on this last game. I think Šemek could be making an appearance against England, couldn't he, if he starts his next game, which would be fun for him. But I think Skip will get a rest. The way Boothroyd's been treating Cantwell, I don't think he'll make an appearance yet. I think, you know, it kind of feels to me like they didn't really want him there in the first place. They didn't feel he was ready, so they didn't call him up. And then they called him up to kind of make up the numbers when they had that injury. So I don't know whether he'll make like a small substitute cameo, although there was a lot of calls for him to appear against Portugal on Twitter last night from all of the keyboard coaches. I think Farke has faith in the fitness of his lads. I think that's something that we were blown away by in Farke's early seasons, where there was those comments that came out about double sessions and fitness and some of the players not being up to that. So I think we've got a crop now that really put fitness at the forefront. So I don't know. I'm going to put my neck on the line and say, I don't know actually whether it's going to be as bad as people are thinking it might be. And I think we might actually have a fairly decent squad, and our international lads will come out of this pretty fit. And because I don't know whether, would you say the intensity of these international games has been as intense as a championship promotion push? Maybe Scotland aside. I think they're a little bit easier, and I think they'll sail straight in.
It would be good. And I mean, it wouldn't be like Norwich to, you know, make a point of grabbing some siege mentality when it's there at a difficult period and difficult moment. I mean, Jakob Sorensen is someone we're not mentioning either, Charlie, and I think he could probably slip in if Ollie Skip is entitled to a rest. And also, Daniel Farke will have the chance this week to prep all this anyway.
Oh, he could also slot in at centre-back, couldn't he? Next to Hanley.
This is true. Indeed.
We've not seen him there yet, but he definitely looks like he's the ball-playing centre-back for the future. Maybe not as physical as we need, but I would love to see Onel play. I thought he played really well, but I can't see it happening. I think what we'll see...
I don't know when he gets back.
Well, how long is it? They haven't got another game, have they? Played there.
Don't think so.
So, volcanic ash cloud permitting, he'll be back pretty soon, you'd hope. But I think you'll...
bouncing.
I think you'll get Emmy Cantwell and possibly even Steepman coming back in. He seems like he's ready, doesn't he?
There were a few heavy touches, but he'll have had a good chance to get some extra training in. So and he'd been out for so long, I think.
I thought he was all right, actually. I've seen people criticize him a lot, but I thought he actually did okay.
It was a mix.
But you kind of forgot what he offered until he came on the pitch, and then, oh no, this is what Stephen Morrison in the number 10 role, which other people don't. So actually, I thought, obviously he was rusty and had some heavy touches, but I think he, it kind of got me a bit, it gave me a bit of a boost actually seeing him back on the pitch and thinking what he can offer.
Yes, love that.
If there's anyone who gets Pukki firing as much as Emi Buendia, it's Stephen.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well, Michael, sorry, I know you're probably about to sign off, but there's obviously Preston on Friday. There's a piece on The Athletic by Simon Hughes on the current situation at Preston, which I think would have a lot of interest for Norwich fans, given Alex Neil's just left and they talk a bit about why that happened and that kind of thing. So I think Simon Hughes is a brilliant journalist and one of the best you guys have got. And I think that piece is certainly of interest to Norwich fans if they want to go and read it ahead of this weekend's game. It certainly enlightened me with a few bits of information that I wasn't aware of regarding Preston and the kind of course of events that led to Alex Neil being, not sacked, was it? It was mutual termination, but rid of.
Yeah.
Mutually terminated. Thank you for doing my job better than me, Ben. You're absolutely right. I haven't had the chance to read Simon's piece yet, but I most definitely will do. And you're right. Simon is a superb journalist. So give that a read, because I will be doing that too. And Huddersfield, Norwich will win 3-0. Away we go. Everything's fine. I think that paints the picture. And I think you're right, Ben. I think I am about to call time on the podcast. So if you're yet to out there, please make sure you subscribe via your usual podcast player of choice. The pod is available free for everyone on your usual player and ad-free to subscribers of The Athletic via our app. Leave a review or a rating if you get the chance. And if you're yet to, make sure you subscribe via your podcast player of choice. The pod is available free for everyone on your usual player and ad-free to subscribers of The Athletic via our app. Leave a review or rating if you get the chance. And if you want to get in touch, suggest any topics or questions, sling me a direct message on Twitter at Michael J. Bailey. That's the handle. In the meantime, big thank you to our guests tonight. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
And a big thank you to our special international break panel of fans, our sip-off debutants, Charlie and Callum. Good evening, guys. Thank you
so
much.
Cheers, Michael.
We'll be back next week for another On the Ball, a Norwich City podcast from The Athletic. Until then, never mind the danger. And we're clear. There we go. Ben, Charlie, and Callum, welcome to Wits End. Everyone happy?
No, chip in at the same time.
Happy business.
Very good.
Now we're getting down to business.
This is business, yeah. Isn't it? This is exactly exciting business. Welcome to Wits End, everyone. Welcome all you Twitterkers out there. If any of you stumbled across this for the first time, you're wondering what's going on. Who would? Listen to On the Ball podcast number 42. Went live on September the 8th. It's all explained there. You can email us directly, Twitterkers, Twitter, K-E-R-S, at iCloud.com, or use the hashtag Twitter, K-E-R-S, Twitterkers, hashtag on Twitter. Just don't explain what it refers to. Makes my job slightly harder, but that's absolutely fine. This week, this is the big reveal, to be honest, because we've got obviously our special international break panel of fans in Callum and Charlie. But essentially, they are crucial to the Wits End project, because I should now reveal that Callum is behind the Twitter account, NCFC Twitterkers, although, as he's already vehemently stated before we started recording, his is spelt properly because it's got Stephen Whittaker's name in it.
I'm in no position to argue with the creator of Twitterkers.
It's a beautiful argument, and one we all had around a table at the Indian restaurant as we ate our curry, trying to work out what we were going
to
do.
Well, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, to be honest. Because it depends whether you're waiting the pun on Twitter or Whittaker. Because we waited on Twitter.
It's like GIF or JIF, isn't it? There's no right answer.
What was the restaurant?
So that's Callum.
Which Indian was it?
Oh, good question.
I was going to ask that. Yeah.
It was Namaste, wasn't it? Namaste Village in Norwich.
Got taste.
Fine Indian cuisine.
It's not Ali's.
They got
though.
A free plug out of that. Wasn't Ali's, no. And there are lots of Indian restaurants in Norwich. That is Charlie. Now, Charlie, you created twitterkers.co.uk, the, as I constantly label it, outstanding website.
The outstanding twitterkers.co.uk, yeah.
I've got to admit, chaps, I'm a bit disappointed that you guys are being outed here as kind of the creators. The sense of mystery was something I always enjoyed. Like, how did this come about? Like, what? How come we're sitting here now talking about this so openly, Michael?
I don't know, really. I think I needed some guests. Yeah. Well, like, get them on.
Who made the group chat? I can't remember. Suddenly I was in a group chat, and then we were just sort of exchanging thoughts on games, and then here we are.
It's the world we live in now, where we can't interact socially in person. So that is what Wits End embodies. It embodies the inability to meet anyone and what people do with their time as a result. And Charlie, thank goodness, you relayed the thing that I had been trying to work out on the website that I wasn't supposed to find and couldn't find, and you took it off,
yeah,
I think.
It's gone. Well, the whole gone. Reason I took it off is because it identified me, but that ship has sailed.
Don't worry about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was some. You're on the. Yeah, there were some directions that led you to be able to pinpoint where I am in the background. So you had to change your screen size and things. But there is a picture of me celebrating with a much more serious face than everyone around me, which I found quite amusing. Everyone else looks very happy.
It was a big goal.
I was. I don't know how you describe that face, but I'm sure you can pick me out.
Concentrated. Concentrated.
I'd say it's just pure 100% passion.
Beautiful. That work too. It is a remarkable website, and you guys have done some brilliant work on Twitter, so it's much appreciated. And I think has helped drip feed Wits End into a more wider conscious than mine and Ben's on the ball.
Well, I want to ask Charlie and Callum, what was it like when you first discovered Wits End? Can you remember?
It's magical. Magical.
I do remember it quite vividly. It's a strange story. In the first lockdown, I graduated uni, and the industry that I was graduating into didn't exist. It was completely locked down, and I had rent to pay, so I started working for a courier firm that will remain nameless. The days were long and hard and boring, so I started catching up and on the ball. And one day I was laden with parcels, and the podcast ended, and I couldn't put the parcels down to get the next podcast going. So I thought, I'll just listen through the advert at the end, and then the next one will play automatically. And then suddenly I heard the famous, "And we're clear." And I thought, the hell is going on here? There's some kind of MCU level podcast post-credit scene.
Fantastic. No adverts. Wow. No adverts, you know. The only advert is us advertising our own insanity in the Wits End.
At the time I was a Spotify free peasant. I hadn't yet subscribed to The Athletic, although that has changed. And then I think a couple of weeks later, Michael says the words, "I'm surprised nobody's made a Twitter account yet." And then that's when I went, "Well, I know what I have to do now."
Yeah.
And
wow, what a guy.
We tried to.
I got home from work. I made the email address. I made the Twitter account. And so far I have 35 followers.
Yes.
1,000.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not yet.
Close. Close. And the website, I mean, how did even the website even come about? I was just wonderful.
I'm just very bored at the moment. No, it was mainly because we couldn't, you were going on about how no one's created this Twitter's handle on Twitter. And I pointed out, you can't use Twitter in a Twitter handle. That's one of their rules. You can't use Twitter in a Twitter handle. So I thought, okay, I'll just make a website as any normal human being would do. And it was just a bit of fun. Got a bit silly with it. Carried
Beautiful.
On being silly.
There's some great updates. Yeah, exactly. And please do, although, you know, if you have better things to do with your time, that is absolutely fine as well. But yeah, twitterkers.co.uk. And we should go through some of the hashtag moments on Twitter, because let me have a look what happened. So Callum, you'd mentioned to me about doing Italian fingers, and I got very confused about what that actually meant.
Did you think it was some kind of gang sign? Or
I didn't really want to start guessing in my head. I've got to be honest. I was like, I should steer clear of this. But what I will say is, obviously, Todd Cantwell the other day played well and gave a little bit of a Italian fingers emoji. Although I think I should probably start calling it chef's fingers. Well, I think that's, it sounds a bit, awake. Don't think that's the one. Chef's fingers.
No, I don't know. It's like.
There's a great example on the twitterkers.co.uk website at the moment.
Is there?
You need a visual to save your
there you
Googling.
Go, everyone. Do it now. I think I've got to do a chef's fingers in my next video verdict at Preston. If it calls for it, Preston or Huddersfield before the next podcast. Anyway,
are you still doing chillax in those videos, Michael?
I haven't. No, I've only done it once. I didn't realise it was with something.
No,
to do
I was
every
just
week.
I was beginning to get a bit worried for you, because if you keep adding things that you need to do in these videos and you kind of accumulate the videos will just be you like doing this with your fingers and saying chillax and not actually offering any insight in the game. Yeah. So one at a time.
Well, some would probably argue. No. We are running out of time, everyone. So I think I'm going to call it here, which means I'm going to have to say Charlie Bowker next week for the email. Look forward to that. It's going to be a great one when I read it. That's exciting. If you, any of you out there have got any emails, you want to email us in something to talk about in Wits End, or tell us something, tell us, talk about, raise a question, do whatever you wish, then please email us, Twitterkers, Twitter, K-E-R-S, at iCloud.com. Or, of course, you can... visit the website twittergers.co.uk or follow any of the things on Twitter or use the hashtag. I think that's everything. But that's it. I don't think we've got any other business or Kenny other business, any of those things. So we're all going
to
shake our heads.
I'd like to apologize to John Rogers for spelling his name wrong.
Oh, you don't need to do that.
I'd like to apologize for John Rogers for mutilating his lovely face in a meme.
Well, with putting Daniel Farker's hair on.
Yeah, putting Daniel Farker's hair.
You do not apologise for that because that was brilliant. And I
4 years of uni well spent, I think, learning how to do Photoshop.
Again. Gentlemen, Charlie, Callum, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for all that you do. Please keep doing it as long as it doesn't get you in trouble or, you know, prevent you from working, that sort of stuff. I hope you'll both come on again at some point in the future. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Cheers, Ben. Top man.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers, everyone. See you on the other side of Huddersfield. Enjoy Preston as well. See you later.
The Athletic.